Let's get him up here. Scott Hewler. Give him a big round of applause.
So my story about tradition is about a tradition about a story. Okay, Monday night coming up. It's a very exciting night for Jews. We all know what night it is, right? It is Passover. It is the best night of the year for Jews because it's a night about stories. What we do at the Passover Seder, if anybody who's ever been to one, you know it's a lot of talking and a lot of praying before you eat. And what you do is you tell the story that we share as Jews. It's our tradition. It is our big story. Now, nobody likes stories better than the Jews, right? The Torah, right? That was ours. That we came up with that one. Has anybody here ever been to a Jewish Torah service? When they take the Torah out of the ark, they carry it around. We have like a parade. We carry it around, and everybody kisses it with your towels or your prayer book. I tell people the Jews treat their story the way the Green Bay Packers treated Vince Lombardi. We're like, oh, that's how. So we love a story. And the high point, the highlight of the Seder every year is when the youngest person at the table gets up and asks the four questions. If anybody's ever been to a Seder. Manishtana halayla hazay, right? In other words, why is this night different from all other nights? In our family, we ask five questions. This story is about our fifth question. In my family, we're traditionalists. We love the traditions. We love Passover, and we love to sit around and talk about how great it is being Jewish and how great Jews are and how much fun it is doing all these Jewish things. And Aunt Arlene is, that's all of us over here, and then way over here on the other side of the teeter-totter is Aunt Arlene, who is like the most snarling, snide, sarcastic, vicious, angry aunt that it was ever my pleasure to have. And the traditions just meant nothing to Arlene. It's like, it's just an hour and a half before we get a chance to eat. So she didn't swoon over the traditions the way the rest of us do. And so when I was little, I was terrified of Aunt Arlene because you never knew it was coming from her. I remember one night we were at a Seder at her house, and my cousin Deanne wanted lettuce for some reason. I remember Arlene walking into the kitchen and taking out a head of lettuce and hacking half of it off and throwing the other half on Deanne's plate and saying, "Here's some lettuce, kid." And I just remember, wow, this is kind of a scary person. And that's, you know, that's where Mom drops us off when they're going out to dinner. So she was a little scary, but she was also the type of person where if it didn't involve a siren, it was okay at Arlene's house. So you could go down in the basement and climb underneath the house and into the crawl space, and you could kind of do anything you wanted to, and that was very freeing. And so as I grew up, I really started to listen to Aunt Arlene, and she became our family's storyteller and our family's truth teller. She was the one who, like my mom, would talk about her cousin Raymond, and well, things didn't really work out so well for Raymond. And Arlene was like, "He worked at a bank. He left for lunch one day and never came back, and they opened his drawer and there was no money. Is this smart? How stupid is this?" That was the Raymond story. And what happened to Raymond? Well, Aunt Nellie had to go down to Florida and gather Raymond up and pull him back by the ear and, you know, kind of buy his way back out of trouble with the bank. And Aunt Nellie, who's the size of like an Appalachian foothill, came in one day proudly announcing that she had lost 20 pounds, and it was Aunt Arlene who said, "Out of what, her left earlobe?" And it was Aunt Arlene who knew how my mom's uncle Harry had this perfectly circular scar on the end of his nose, and all the kids used to ask about it, and Arlene was the one who could tell you, well, he came home one night and he was drunk and he shut the garage doors and was like, "Oh, God damn." And he picked up the end of his nose and stuck it on him with a piece of tape and went to bed and slept it off. And so Aunt Arlene knew stories. So as I grew up, naturally, I went from that childish place of like, what's she going to do, to that adult place of like, this is who I want to sit near. This is who I want to smoke a cigarette with after Thanksgiving and dish. This is who I want to sit next to and just watch her go about her business. I just fell in love with my Aunt Arlene. One night, we were at my mom's house for the Seder. And one of the nicest traditions about the Seder is that it's kind of old school, so after the meal, the men sit around patting their bellies and the women clean up, which is a wonderful tradition in my book. And I was just sitting and watching Arlene at work, because you know how it is when it's a relative or a great friend and it's just someone you care about. You just like to watch them go about their business. And I was watching Arlene, and she was cleaning up the dishes, and she would do entertaining things, like if she's picking up somebody's soup that they didn't really finish it and the person next to them is still eating but they're not looking, she'll just tip some of the soup in to, you know, because it's easier to carry. She's a pragmatist. And Arlene was leaning over while I'm chomping on the macaroons, and Arlene is leaning over to clean something up, and I'm watching her. And I had one of those moments where time slows down, because I'm looking at Arlene and something's like racing around, like the New York, like the Times Square, you know, news feed or something. There's just something's kind of flickering and moving, and I'm watching her, and I realize that she's glowing. She's like a biblical miracle. She is burning, but she is not consumed. Like, flames are running up and down her arms and on her belly and on her back. And I'm just watching in this sort of slow motion way. And then from the middle of my field of vision, I notice my left arm coming up with a napkin. And I'm sort of like mopping. I'm like, what? And suddenly, like, zzz, time speeds up. And I'm like, you're fired. And I'm whapping her out. And she's like doing this. And it's over. It's done. It's, and it turns out that she's wearing one of those polar fleece tops, right? That's made of like old Coke bottles. And what they do is they degrade directly into gas. Do you know what that process is called? It's called subliming. It's sublimation. Isn't that a beautiful word? It's like what dry ice does. It goes from solid to gas, right? It goes directly from gas. It's off gassing, like the dashboard in your car, and that gas is flammable. And so the candles have kind of, and I'm standing next to her, and Arlene says to me this beautiful, probably the best question I've ever heard in my life. She said, "What? Am I on fire again?" And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, again. Well, it turns out that a couple weeks ago, this polar fleece top Arlene is wearing, she has gone to someone's house for dinner, and she's helping clean up, and she leans over the candles, and she's on fire, and everybody's up, and they put her out. No harm, no foul. She goes on about her business. She comes to the Seder. She's wearing the same top. She leans over the candles. She's on fire, and I put her out, and she says, "Am I on fire again?" And so I think to myself, well, no. And now I have to think about it, because sadly Arlene is no longer with us. And I like to think that she can't really ever be on fire again, because she'll always be on fire. She's like the eternal flame in every synagogue that you go into, the flame that they never turn off, that burns forever. And for me, I think Arlene will always be like a candle burning for me, being on fire in her hilarious, weird way. And very excited, because my little 5-year-old boy this Monday night will probably, for the first time in his life, stand up and say the 5 questions, because at our Seder, we always say, "Am I on fire again?" at the end of the 4th question. We do ask this. We actually do. And so I couldn't be more excited and more proud that Louis will be asking the 4 questions on Monday night, and he will stand up in the service, you know, it'll just be our family, and he will say, "Why is this night different from all other nights?" And I will say, "Let me tell you a story." Thank you.
Scott Hewler.